and Americans for the Arts.
And you're listening to WMNF Tampa, Sarasota Clearwater Community Conscious Radio. Hi, I'm Mary Glennie, and with us in the studio, they're busily doing things here. We have Arlene Engelhart, and she's hustling it over there. Hi, Arlene.
Hi, Mary. Sorry. I was getting a picture of Tanya in order to send it out, although I understand our internet is temporarily down, so I don't know if I can get it out during the show or not.
Well, I'm sorry about that.
But if we can, I will get it out to you. If not, it'll be after the show. But this is Arlene Engelhart, and you are listening to From a Woman's Point of View. And we're so excited to have Tanya in the studio with us, and we're also excited about our first guest. And so, without further ado, Mayor, why don't you talk a little bit about where we're going, and also we might mention the programmer that we lost, Eve Prime Plews, because she's highly related to the subject we're discussing this morning.
Life will say hard, as you know, anyone I think that knows anything about Roundup, because that's how most of you know it, actually, and it's like, it is actually glyphosate plus. It's actually even worse than just straight glyphosate, but Eve fought it very hard, and as I say, anyone that knows anything about it will fight it hard, because you know that Tanya, Dr. Steffens, Stephanie Steffens, you know, when I contacted her to see if she'd be able to be part of the show, because she's really a busy woman, and so she watched and listened to your video, and she said she did a really good job.
for not having that much experience and knowledge about it, I mean, I know probably the minimal amount that I think that most people know, but I know it's dangerous, and I know, you know, I've done a little bit of research, so I felt comfortable and confident enough to say that I don't want it there. So,
well, you know, it's really fascinating, because Dr. Stephanie Senef is, I'll tell you, she is one brilliant woman. All her degrees are from MIT. Biophysics, that was her first bachelor's, and then electrical engineering, and that was her master's, and then electrical engineering and computer science, her PhD.
Wow, she sounds amazing.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting, because then she's for years, over 30 years, been with the computer science and artificial intelligence lab. And among many other things, you know, because MIT, you know, Chomsky actually was one of the first in linguistics there. You know, that's actually a lot of people first met Noam Chomsky was through his linguistics. And so they've always been really, really strong in every aspect of it. And so among many other things that she was interested in natural language processing and genetic disposition, which is really kind of fascinating. And so, but at the same time, she's back to her biology and her biophysics. And so then starting around 2011, when she was mainly just working with students and master's programs and all that, she got interested, in the various aspects of, you know, language and genes and the disposition. And so she started looking at things like autism and Alzheimer's. And, and immediately, and this is what I love about her thinking, she thought, well, it's got to be environmental. You know, this increase has got to be environmental, so we'll just start looking. And I think some of the graphs that she has come up with showing the increase in autism in this country with the incidence and the increase in glyphosate is really tragically stunning when you look at it. And so I was so thrilled, because, you know, I have fought Roundup and other environmental toxins just forever. And, you know, with the EPA and the lack of government really help, you just run into a brick wall all the time, and it just, you reach the point you think, well, you know, it's really bad, and I'll tell people that I deal with, et cetera, don't use it, period.
They always refer back to the EPA, though. But, like, I mean, if the EPA allows it, I mean, then there's, it's hard to argue with them. I mean, what do they classify it as a group E, which is it does not cause cancer. Like, and I know that this year they're going to be it's up for a vote again on whether how to reclassify it. So, I mean, I think it would take all of us calling the EPA and saying, you know, this needs to change. Like, you need to reclassify this as a cancer causing pretty much poison.
Well, you know, I can't remember, because I've read so much about her that I'm not sure what she said and what I've read what she said. But, you know, in 2015, actually the World Health Organization, and they have an international agency of cancer research, and so they classified glyphosate as a probable carcinogen, and that kind of opened the floodgates. In fact, that's the reason, and as she thinks the best thing that's happened has been this lawsuit that Johnson won, and,
yeah. You know,
and Monsanto now, who is owned by Bayer, is said they're going to keep fighting it, but there are over 4,000 lawsuits in the country that are also going forward. And she thinks that that's one of the biggest cracks they've made. And the problem always has been that because so much money is in that herbicide, and because, frankly, I don't know, you know, I don't know why people have such a belief in chemicals and agriculture and, you know, big science, if you will, and they believe in their magic. And because the way they've gotten by with it, not being tested, and that's the problem, is that actually it's not even tested. Yes. Like she said, one of the biggest...
Well, it's tested by them. It's tested by the young company, and they're saying, here, this is our test. These are our results. There you go. And so it's very easy for them to say, we tested it. Here are the protocols. It's safe. Trust me.
And in many ways, it's even worse because they just use the straight science. And, you know, in plants, you know, they have this what's called the Scicamati cycle. You know, it's kind of like our Krebs cycle, but it's called the Scicamati. It's a little different, but not that much different. And they said, well, human beings and mammals don't have that. And so that's the way it works, and so it doesn't affect humans. And she points out, and others, she's not the only one doing this, because actually they've done mainly the research, the data of all the research, have said, yeah, but you know, the most important part of your body, perhaps, is that huge bacteria flora you have in your gut, and that actually it does have the same system. And it's what makes your three aromatic amino acids. And so if you screw up that gut flora, you are screwing up, you know, the tyrosine, the phenylalanine, and the alanine cycles. And these are some of the main precursors that go into brain hormones. They go into all kinds of things. And they have also found now, oh, you know, glyphosate is a really cutie. It's essentially, it's like an amino acid or an antibiotic, you will. And so it actually kills a lot of the bacteria flora. And then it takes it up. And so then rather than you getting the right kind of tyrosine or, you know, alanine, etc., you're getting screwed, and so your brain, serotonin, methionine, they're getting screwed. And but also then she points out that, you know, you get all the problems with the gut. And it's really fascinating because researchers that have taken gut flora from mice, rats, or other things that they're working with, and they have introduced the glyphosate, if they inject that into other mice or rats that haven't been, they will develop the same symptoms. And they get all these neurologic changes. And so her research, well, it's not just her research, and I think that's what's so impressive about it, is because it's been millions of researchers throughout the world who have been working on this, and, you know, and so they compile all their data. And because, it quotes, they said, it doesn't, it's considered the perfect herbicide. And because there is so much money in it, because it's the most widely used herbicide in the world, not just here.
They said 100 million pounds used yearly in America. That's an insane amount. But a lot of it is contracts. Like you build, like this company has contracts that they will use it and they will buy from them. So how are you supposed to... It's hard to get out of. It's going to be a hard situation to get out of unless the EPA says it's cancer-causing and unless we pass ordinances saying that we won't use it.
Yeah, and she's going to say that she really feels that we've got to do it from the ground up, so to speak. It's got to be people.
Yeah.
And because, you know, I've been fighting and following the regulation of chemicals, it seems to me, forever. And it's really been interesting, you know, actually under President Obama, when they came out with the report and they mandated that they studied them. Well, then so the chemical companies, you know, said, meh. And then they really got thinking of it. And actually at the local level, like a person like you, fighting in Flippy Park, or a lot of other environmentalists that are fighting, they find at the local level, people don't want these chemicals. And so many times, small communities will pass it, say, you can't use that stuff, et cetera. You can't use it in the parks. And they found it was harder to try and control every local group, every local city or county or whatever. And the same thing even with the state. And so this is why they're much happier to work at the federal level, because of over what we have, over 87,000 chemicals.
Well, and Monsanto's right now trying to pass a ban to ban it. So then they're going to make it illegal to ban their product.
Exactly. And because they realize the real battle is at the local level. And it's people like you and others who have said, no, this stuff is dangerous. And I don't, you know, and its implication in Alzheimer's and ALS and practically all the autoimmune diseases, hyperactivity, et cetera, in children, diabetes. And you know, as I was saying to Dr. Steffens, I said, you know, I said, it's so amazing. I said, because you've named some of the most serious chronic diseases that essentially we can't deal with, like Alzheimer's. You know, they try and do things in the periphery, and heaven knows, you know, if that helps, fine. But to actually go with the causation. And, you know, it was strange, because I remember with mad cow disease, and my brother got me into that, said, come on, I want to know, can I hunt deer? Can we eat this deer in Wisconsin? And I said, well, you know, so anyway, I got following mad cow disease. And so then I got really interested in prions, you know, which is actually the active ingredient. And, you know, that the people will get Alzheimer's, you know, after eating this. It might be a period of time. For some people, it's much faster, but others, it can be 10, 13 years. But for some, it's 2 years, a year. And I these prions, and I thought, gee, I thought, you know, I thought, that is amazing, because they're the same amyloid packs you get, you know, in Alzheimer's. And I thought, wow, I thought, well, not enough people. I thought, we've got such an epidemic of Alzheimer's, and not enough people are being exposed to mad cow disease, you know, because, you know, the agriculture department really went high. And yes, it's high in some deer populations and some elk, but not in our cows. They've been really rigorous about that. And I thought, there's no way people could have gotten exposed to that. Except she points out, the research has shown that, unfortunately, because it's amino acid, that essentially, glyphosate is like an amino acid, it's in glycine. And so the protein synthesis in our body is poor. It's not real careful. The same thing, like if you get exposed to carbon monoxide, your cells will take that up rather than oxygen. You know, our body is not foolproof. And so our body will use the glycine from the glyphosate, and it doesn't fold quite right. An awful lot, you know, with DNA and encryption and all that, it's very important structure. Literally, the structure is important. Well, it doesn't quite fit right, and so it kind of folds. And so they have known all along that the amyloid is in the brain of dementia, that it's folded. It's a folded protein, and that's not common. And that's exactly the way our body folds glyphosate. And, you know, whether it's a main factor or a factor, but nevertheless, it was horrifying, because I honestly did not know that it was so close to being an amino acid till I've gone back and studied this.
So yeah, I didn't know.
I thank you, because I hadn't studied all this in a while. And I thought, oh, my God, I thought, that is terrifying. And already a lot of organisms and plants are figuring out how to deal with this DNA without using a glycine. And you think, oh, that's smart. It's not smart. You know, it's kind of the way you get sickle cell anemia. When you know, that when you're really exposed to something, the body will figure out ways to kind of stop that malaria from killing you. But it will do things that actually aren't in your best interest, particularly if you're in a situation where you're not really threatened by dying from malaria. And anyway, it's a bag of worms. And you know, it's kind of been... And it's been the elephant in plain sight the whole time, because the use is so huge. And ever since, particularly with the GMO food, so you're not only being exposed to the glyphosate that's being sprayed with Roundup all over every place, but also the foods that have GMO residues in them of glyphosate.
Yeah.
And anyway.
They tested all those foods, I think, a month ago, and it's showing up in everything, even in organic items.
Yes.
I mean, and they tested the rainwater, and it was in the rainwater. I mean, it is literally, we're poisoning every part of our body. And we shouldn't allow these large corporations to do this. Like, it needs to be tested thoroughly and in multifaceted tests before it's put out into our lives. And I don't know, I mean, thank you for talking about it, because this is
well I
important.
Thank you, because you really brought it to our attention, you know. And I thought, oh no, not Roundup again. I thought, if I go one more round with Roundup,
you know. And I used to live on the Hillsborough River, and you know, and I was the last house before the dam, and every summer, and I'd see the boats go by and spraying just thousands of gallons straight into our drinking water. That's where we get our water from, in Hillsborough, like right there. And I remember asking the men who were driving the boats, and they said it was aquatic Roundup and it was fine. And they said that because North Tampa and Temple Terrace, they use so much fertilizer, it has all this growth. And so they were literally just dousing every 2 weeks in the summer our drinking water with Roundup.
Well, you know, and if you look at any ditch, you know that, and then you add Roundup, because now with the Roundup Ready crops, they're naturally, the weeds have gotten resistant, and so now they have to use 2,4-D, they have to use dicantin, and which is so dangerous, et cetera. But you can pretty much just look at any ditch, you know, you buy, and you see this kind of brownish purple weeds. And of course, it'll stay there forever, and I don't know if a lot of people realize, but that's actively putting out whatever herbicide that they've used there. And the chances are it's a type of Roundup or a 2,4-D, or probably both of them. And it's one of the reasons, you know, like a Lance Armstrong, you know, these bicycle riders, these really serious athletes who will spend miles out, you know, training in these kind of roads, which, you know, have the ditches and they aren't right, there's so much traffic, and they're really working hard, so they're really respiring and doing, you know, a lot of things that really will bring this in. It's not accidental that so many of them, you know, are golfers, professional golfers, that they're exposed to this stuff all the time. And your body just can't break it down.
Well, I mean, it's not even, I mean, even along the sites, but also in the parks, and the fact that we use it all the time. I mean, my neighbor right now, he saw like four or five weeds. He's like, I'm going to have to go get some Roundup. And he lives right on a spring that then the spring feeds into the waterways. And I'm like, that shouldn't be your first solution. But I mean, it's, if they've been putting this in our environment for 20, 30 years, I mean, four people in my neighborhood have throat cancer. Like, there's, it's amazing. And there, it's not accidental. I mean, we're poisoning every aspect of our environment.
Well, and again, I'm not sure what she said in the lecture, or it's almost like a lecture that she's done when you hear the interview, but her work with autism. And, you know, that when she first started to study it, it was 1 in 10,000 children will have autism. And so then now it's 1 in 68.
And yeah, I believe
said,
it.
And she said by year 2032, if the trends continue, that it'll be 1 out of 2. And some of the research, and again, this is not just by her, and that those are at MIT. They haven't done the research, but they're compiling all the research that's being done in the country and in the world. And honestly, and she said she immediately realized it's got to be environmental. There's got to be something environmental. And so then she started to go through the correlates and really, you know, I have to admit that, you know, when I was hearing all of this stuff, you know, with autism, et cetera, I've been really very skeptical. I'm really wondering what on earth has been happening. But number one, I didn't realize it was increasing so much. I thought it was really, yeah, I knew, but I thought, well, it's really a very good diagnosis now. You know, we're much better at diagnosing it, and it's earlier, et cetera, and they're much more aware of the spectrum. I hadn't really realized it was increasing that much.
That drastically, yeah.
Yeah.
There was a lot of, I mean, we have, I would say probably a third of our friends have children that are on the spectrum somewhere. I mean, it's pretty prevalent, and I mean, I'm aware of it. I mean,
and ADHD, and it totally, she goes through, as I say, those three aromatic amino acids that glyphosate will screw of your body making, because you can't make it, the bacteria in your gut's the ones that make it. And it totally, she goes through tyrosine, and she'll get right on to serotonin and melatonin, and I thought, oh my God, I thought these are all the major brain hormones. And I thought, oh, and I remember a long time ago with Dr. Steingraber, and she's done a lot of work with environmental toxins, particularly with children too. And I remember her saying, she said, Mary, she said, the toxins that the children are being exposed to in utero, that she said, it's changing the adipose tissue cells in their bodies, and it's changing the composition. And she said, they will not be able to lose that weight. She said, no matter what kind of dieting and how much exercise they do. And she says, you and I are about going to be in about the last generation that can have a normal weight. And I thought, wow, I thought, you know, it has become so serious. And, you know, there we somehow buy the press clippings that, you know, there we can feed the world and the magic of chemistry. And I was really disgusted because I was doing some work and reading this about the agricultural, some of the studies, and this one scientist was saying, well, you know, now we've improved so much technologically that, you know, yes, there were some abuses with chemicals in the 50s and 60s, but that era of agriculture is totally over. And I thought, oh, really? I thought, no one told me about that. And I know we're fighting hard to get these things out of our agricultural supply. And it's that kind of, almost to me, craziness in believing their abilities and having no sense of, but they do know the consequences. The Monsanto has known. They're the first ones that knew because they dealt with it all the time. And she also, when she implicates it, you know, I was mentioning about the lead in the water, and I knew that she had said, because originally, they originally were working with glyphosate to actually be a pipe cleaner, you know, and they were working for water softeners, you know, because that's what was trying to get these heavy minerals out of water so people like to do their laundry, et cetera, you know, with a soft, what that they is, call soft water.
That's terrifying.
So it's a chelating agent also, and so it chelates some of your major minerals, like manganese. And so she said, well, you know, she said up in Flint, they raise all the sugar beets up there, and I have no doubt that there's a lot of glyphosate in that water. And she said, that's contributing to your red tide down there, you know, here. She said, because of all the sugar cane, it's right down there, you know. And so the, she said, you know, cyclobalamin, which is actually the agent with blue-green, the algae, she said, is one of the few bacteria that can take and break it down. And so I thought, oh, it's been this elephant in plain sight. And we think, I don't know what's happening. Everything's getting so dangerous. Yeah.
Well, it's a lot to take in, and it's an elephant in plain sight because it's a lot to take on. There's so many issues right now with going on that addressing any one issue, it takes up so much time and effort. And in a world where, like, you're working a lot and there's a lot of bills and you're not getting paid a lot, it's hard to take on an additional stressor. So most people choose to ignore it.
Well, without further ado, let's get into the expert, because I can already see that I'm probably not going to get the Tony Van Pelt's discussion of Brett Kavanaugh, but if we don't today, we will definitely get into that next week. So without further ado, let's listen to Dr. Stephanie Seneff. I am so happy to welcome to the show Dr. Stephanie Seneff, and she is a computer scientist, biologist extraordinaire. She's a senior research scientist at MIT Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Lab. She received her BS in biophysics, MS and EE in electrical engineering, and PhD in electrical engineering and computer science, all from MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And for three decades, she mainly worked in intersection of biology and computation. She published over 170 refereed articles, but luckily, I think for all of us, in the last few years, she's been going back more to biology and studying the effects of nutrition and environmental toxins on the human body. So Dr. Stephanie Seneff, welcome so much to the show.
I'm so delighted to be here. Thank you.
Well, it is such a, I mean, you have such knowledge, and I think your intersection, you might say, of computer, but also language and neuro-linguistic processing, so to speak, with genetic inscription, I think it puts you in a really a unique position to analyze, particularly the environmental toxin that we're worried about right now, right here in the Tampa Bay region, glyphosate, or as many people know it, the product they usually buy commercially, Roundup. And so tell me, how did you get interested particularly in looking at Roundup or glyphosate?
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting story, because I've been watching the autism growth for a long time, and I noticed maybe 12 years ago that the rates were going up dramatically, and I was very concerned about that. And most of the research dollars were being spent on genetics, and I knew that this kind of growth had to have an environmental cause, and I wanted to know what it was. So, you know, given my abilities to number crunch, you know, with computers and do this kind of correlations of data, I started to take a look to see what is there in the environment that is going up, you know, in step with the rise in autism. That's your first step to say maybe that's the thing that's causing it. And I looked at vaccines, and I think vaccines are definitely a factor in autism, but I don't think they're the main factor. I think the main factor is this glyphosate, and it is a real sleeper, because we've been assured repeatedly by the government that this is a wonderful chemical that kills all plants except for those that have been engineered to resist it, and is completely harmless to humans. This is the line we've been told, and people want to believe what their government tells them. But when you look into the history of glyphosate, you realize that that's a false assumption, and that Monsanto has done a lot of corrupt things to get to the point where they got the approval that they needed. And once it was approved, nobody ever looked back. And so the government's not even bothering to find out how much is in the food, and they're using it enormously in agriculture. Of course, people use it on their lawns to control the dandelions. People could be using it carelessly because they think it's safe. You know, it's very, very dangerous when you have a chemical that's that pervasive and that's perceived to be safe, and that is causing so its mechanism of toxicity is what I've been very, very interested in. You know, if it is toxic to humans, exactly how does that happen? And that's where I'm seeing a insidious, cumulative, slow kill that it induces through a unique mechanism of toxicity. This is what I think is happening with glyphosate. This is a theory that I have. I'm increasingly convinced that I'm right as I do more research, and it means that it affects all the proteins of your body in random ways, and so all kinds of different diseases can come out of that, and autism is one of them.
Yeah, I'm going to stop you just a sec there, because I really find that fascinating, you know, because the human body is an amazing, just an amazing living being, you might say, and you know, you have pointed out so much, and one of the things you really pointed out, that the basic molecular structure of glyphosate is essentially an amino acid, very close to glycine. And as you said in many lectures, because I've gone through a lot of your papers and your lectures, that protein synthesis in the body isn't really as good a mechanism as we'd like. And so commonly the body will take, if glyphosate is there, it will substitute that as opposed to a normal good glycine. And in many processes, particularly with something like brain and maybe folding, like we know with prions, et cetera, that this is really where the real dangers of glyphosate is, because it's such a mimic, you might say, in our human body.
Yeah, and so you know, the proteins depend, many proteins, and you can find out which ones by researching literature. Quite a fascinating game to play, which I've been doing. I've become an expert on the roles of glycine in various proteins. And you can pick a disease. You say, okay, this disease is going up exactly in step with glyphosate. You read the literature about the disease. You find out which proteins. You know, people will have mutations. They'll even have glycine mutations in certain proteins that are linked to that disease. You know, and so it just means if that glycine is not there at that spot in that protein doesn't work right. And when it doesn't work right, disease happens. And this is what's happening. And it's just like there's a huge list of proteins that can be very badly affected by random glyphosate substitutions at critical spots. So we're seeing a whole huge list of diseases. And what we're mostly seeing is autoimmune disease, because what's happening is the food itself is contaminated in the proteins. You take gluten, for example, and you know we have an epidemic in gluten intolerance these days. So many people are doing a gluten-free diet. It's ridiculous. And those grocery stores have huge sections of gluten-free foods. You know, we hardly even knew what gluten was, you know, in the old days. And gluten is a protein that is in wheat, and wheat is sprayed with glyphosate right before the harvest, and people have found high levels of glyphosate in wheat-based products such as Ritz crackers and Oreo cookies and Goldfish crackers, all these things that kids love have, you know, contamination with glyphosate. But there's glyphosate embedded in the protein in the wheat, the gluten, which is making the gluten very difficult to break down. And also glyphosate contamination in the digestive enzymes like trypsin and pepsin that break down proteins in the body that the pancreas produces. Those get contaminated with glyphosate as well. And then they don't work properly. Even if the protein was okay, they wouldn't work. So we're getting a huge problem with an inability of the gut to digest the proteins. And then glyphosate sets up a leaky gut barrier so that those undigested proteins get into the general circulation. And then the immune cells respond with an immune response that's also broken by glyphosate, because their whole response mechanism depends upon critical glycines. They'd also get messed up by the glyphosate. So it's just like an incredible cascade of trouble where you end up producing antibodies that aren't quite right. So you're trying to produce an antibody to wheat, to the gluten, so you can bind to it and tell the immune system to clear it, but the antibody isn't quite right, and the antibody starts attacking your own tissues because it misrecognizes them. And then you get all these autoimmune symptoms, you know, and you can have your thyroid issues, Hashimoto's thyroid, you know, all kinds of, and things like lupus and MS, all these different autoimmune diseases, chronic fatigue syndrome. And, of course, autism, I think, is also an autoimmune disease that is being caused in part by this immune system attacking proteins in the brain, such as myelin basic protein.
Well, you know, and again, we're talking to Dr. Stephanie Seneff, and as you can tell, she is a biologist, computer engineer extraordinaire at MIT and has been there for years. You know, Dr. Seneff, we're very aware right now, and I'm really thinking, because I've been doing a lot lately on lead, and, you know, following the history of lead and how we got lead exposed to it in such degree. And, you get furious because this was just over money, and they knew from the get-go how dangerous it was, and there we're stuck with it. And I thought it was interesting, and one of the many things that you pointed out is that glyphosate, which is the most commonly used herbicide in this country and the world, is a chelator, among other things. And so with all the lead we have in our pipes, particularly we have very old systems in many cities, that it also is leaching the lead into, you know, the water. And here we wonder why the kids are exposed, you know, in the schools and their water fountains, etc. cetera. And to me, again, there we have, just going through some of the work you did. And right. I strongly recommend to people that they go to your website, and yes, don't be intimidated, particularly go to some of the interviews, read the papers. She's a very good writer. And to me, I was just, because I have fought Roundup, how dangerous it is, just for years. And yes. really, and to me, there's nothing more infuriating than they're saying, hey, you know, I read some scientists said that this is the most perfect herbicide ever right. made, because this human being doesn't have the system that the plants do. This Kikamati, you know,
right.
pathway. And yet, as you point out, we have millions of gut in our bacteria that do, and that actually that bacteria in our gut is very important in making very essential amino acids, you know, like
right.
for us to exist. And I was getting furious because to me, it sounded to me like lead and flame retardants, except this glyphosate, if anything, is on steroids.
Right, and you look at Flint, Michigan, where they had all that problem with lead in the water, and Flint, Michigan is basically the sugar beet capital of the world. It's surrounded by sugar beets, and those are GMO Roundup Ready sugar beets. So they're using tons of glyphosate in the agricultural fields around Flint, and I imagine that glyphosate's getting into the water supply and leaching the lead right off the pipes. That's actually something glyphosate has been patented to be used as a pipe cleaner, basically. It cleans metal, so it pulls the metal right off of the pipe. So you're going to have the lead bound to the glyphosate coming into your body, I suspect. And I don't know that anyone has tested the Flint water for glyphosate, because most people are not aware that you should even be worried about it.
And you mentioned GMO foods, and I think this is really an important story, because what we've had Roundup essentially on the market, developed 70, certainly since 74. But when the patent ran out, this was going to be a $1 billion industry. So Monsanto needed to come up with some ways to not lose all that money. And so we get GMO foods, don't we?
Yes. Right. I mean, those are the only plants that don't get killed by glyphosate, because they've had a gene, interestingly enough. The gene that's inserted is one that has gotten rid of a critical glycine residue in the enzyme that glyphosate disrupts. It's called EPSP synthase. Multiple species of plants and multiple species of microbes have independently discovered that if they change the DNA code so that they don't put glycine at that spot, then they're scot-free. They're completely insensitive. That enzyme is insensitive to glyphosate at any level. It's quite remarkable. With that small change, which is just to change glycine into alanine, which just has one extra methyl group, it messes up the enzyme, so it doesn't perform quite as well because it changes the shape of the active site. But it completely eliminates any sensitivity to glyphosate. And that's because glyphosate's not disrupting that enzyme by substituting for the substrate. It's disrupting it by getting into the protein in place of glycine. This is really interesting to me. I mean, that's a very strong argument that that's what's happening. That's one of the strong arguments I use to argue that glyphosate is, in fact, going into the proteins by mistake in place of glycine. Glyphosate is a complete glycine molecule. It's a perfect glycine molecule, except that it has extra stuff stuck on its nitrogen atom. And so it perfectly matches the site for glycine in the DNA code.
Are you saying, Dr. Seneff, that weeds and insects might be smarter in this case, if you will, than we are?
Well, I think we've got, right now, we've got a massive evolutionary process going on where our genetics is trying to figure out how to cope with this. And it's an incredible ordeal to say, well, let's get rid of all those glycines and all those critical places and all those proteins. So we've got people who are getting genetic mutations. It's so fascinating. I can find a lot of proteins, genetic mutations, where you change glycine to something else, and then you mess up the protein. You know, you're trying to fix it so that it won't be susceptible to glyphosate, but you mess it up so badly it doesn't work anymore, and you get serious disease. ALS is a fascinating one. I wrote a whole paper on ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and there's a small percentage of ALS people who have a genetic link, and in that genetic link, there's a huge number of cases where it's either a glycine mutation, get rid of the glycine, or it's a mutation of something else in a so-called glycine-rich region of a specific protein. It's really fascinating. So, you know, it's interesting to me, because I think the biology has mechanisms to try to mutate the genes to try to fix a problem, but this one is way too big. We can't fix it. You know, glycine is such an important amino acid in so many places that it's just incredibly difficult to try to figure out how to not use glycine in that spot. You've got to really muck around with the amino acids around it to make the whole thing still work when glycine's not there, you know?
Mm-hmm. And again,
very difficult.
And again, we're talking to Dr. Stephanie Seneff. And if you find some of this kind of overwhelming, because you probably haven't been too familiar with it, I strongly suggest you go to her website or go on YouTube, whatever, and listen to some of her lectures or interviews, because she explains this so much. And so this is why when you tie it, you know, like to autism or Alzheimer's or, you know, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, but ALS, so many diseases, this is why you have such a cornucopia, if you will, of some of the worst diabetes, some of the worst diseases we are fighting right now. Because
all
this,
of these.
Because, again, this is the most commonly used herbicide in this country and the world. And
I think...
You talk.
I think that glyphosate is a major player in the issues that you have down there in Florida with the red tide and the cyanobacteria, you know, the blue-green algae, so-called blue-green algae, which are the cyanobacteria.
Would you elaborate?
Because there's all these sugarcane fields right around Lake Okeechobee, and they use glyphosate on those fields to... At the harvest time, as a ripener, and I imagine people are using glyphosate on their lawns too. They've got those beautiful lawns down there. Lots of glyphosate being used in Florida, and it's getting into the water. And cyanobacteria are among the very few species that can metabolize glyphosate. So that's really important because they gain an edge. Everyone else is dying because they're getting exposed to glyphosate. And cyanobacteria is eating it up and using its phosphorus as a source of phosphorus. So the cyanobacteria thrive in the presence of glyphosate, and then the red algae eat the cyanobacteria. So that allows the red algae to thrive, and that's how you get this red tide issue. I suspect it plays a major role.
Well, I think some of your analysis is really profound. And I think the thing that bothers me so much, that again, just like lead, it was used and just considered just as safe as candy. And, you know, that we're fighting right now in our parks. And I know that I've been fighting in parks for so long. And I get so furious because they say it's perfectly safe. You know, it's used mm-hmm. all over and it doesn't harm. And you try and tell them and they just, that to them, it's almost like, well, you can't have all these diseases that are so serious that medical science has no idea what's really totally happened. They only treat the symptoms. You're not trying to say that this little herbicide is effective in that. And yes, a person like you with great authority is.
That's what I'm saying. I think it, you know, we would be so much healthier if we just banned glyphosate. Now, the problem is, of course, there's a bunch of other herbicides that are also toxic. And right now we're in a real mess. Glyphosate is failing because these weeds are getting smart. You know, they're getting rid of that glycine residue in that enzyme, and now they're flourishing. And so you have to use more glyphosate to kill them. And then you start having to add back other chemicals that are supposed to be much more toxic than glyphosate, like 2,4-D and dicamba and glufosinate. These are all getting put back now, and they're putting them on top of glyphosate. So you can buy a product that has glyphosate plus, you know, one of these other guys. And so the other guy is killing the things that glyphosate's not killing, and you're getting everything dead. But you're now putting those two chemicals together in the food supply, and God knows what that's going to do. You know, that's going to cause a whole other set of symptoms that we're going to see down the road. And we've already got this big mess with dicamba that's going on in the Midwest right now, all these lawsuits, because the dicamba, they've got these dicamba-resistant soy, and the dicamba is spilling over into the neighbor's farm and mm-hmm. killing his non-dicamba-resistant soy. So it's a big mess right now with the dicamba. And the reason why they've introduced this dicamba is because the glyphosate's failing, because these weeds have gotten clever. And so we're in a real mess with respect to using glyphosate anyway. It seems to me we should just ban it. I think the government should just ban it. I really wish they would. And, of course, they're so bought. I mean, it's so difficult to get them to move on this thing. It's just really frustrating.
Well, it is frustrating because they won't even allow it to be tested in the sense of how much in a human body, how much glyphosate is there. They keep insisting that it's safe. And yet, you know, when independent researchers have tested in foods, et cetera, they found indeed it's in the cereal, it's in all kinds of things. And mm-hmm. this caused quite a problem. But back to the Midwest, yes, I'm thinking of Illinois. That's my home state originally. And, you know, with all the agriculture there and the dicamba and the 2,4-D and all the Asians they use, that literally there is only one section now left of Illinois, way up in the northwest corner, where you actually can really grow organic fruits and vegetables because it's so contaminated just by drift, by the water, et cetera, and it is that serious of a problem.
Yes, it's very sad to see. I mean, we just really need to completely overhaul our agricultural methods. I just wish the government would play a leadership role, would admit that there's a huge problem, and then would deal with it, you know, because if they did, they could really be powerful. We can help out. Individuals can help move us in the right direction by simply buying organic food. And if you're a farmer, switch to organic farming if you haven't already. It's going to be so helpful. And of course, the soil is getting ruined, too, and that's causing a lot of soil runoff. You know, a lot of issues, and of course there's not enough nutrition in the food because the soil is getting, the soil bacteria are getting destroyed by the glyphosate, just as our gut bacteria are, and that's messing up the ability of the plants to take up nutrients like the minerals, so the minerals are deficient, and glyphosate in our gut disrupts our mineral management, so we end up with both mineral deficiencies and toxicities at the same time because of the glyphosate. And glyphosate also makes everything else much more toxic because it messes up the enzymes in the liver that detoxify other toxic chemicals. So that's a really bad situation.
And you know, I'm curious, Dr. Seneff, because particularly with autism, I thought some of the statistics you pointed out were sobering, that, you know, it used to be 1 in 10,000, and now it's up to 1 in 68. And you said, I think your projection was like by 2032, it would be 1 out of 2.
And that's my projection, yes.
And you've done this just by an analysis of our increased use of glyphosate and the increase in autism. And some of your graphs, did they surprise you when you first saw it?
Absolutely. Now, I hope it's going to taper off, but it might not. I mean, if it continues at the rate that it's been going, if you just extend that curve that we've seen for the past 20 years, if you just extend it into the future, that's what you get. 1 in 2 of the children born in 2032 will end up on the autism spectrum. And that will be 80% of the boys, because the boys get it more than the girls. It's going to be an absolute catastrophe. And, you know, we've already got the first wave growing up now, and they're scrambling to figure out what to do with all these adults.
And also, we have the ADHD, I mean, the hyperactive children, and you beautifully go through the pathway there, you know, with the tyrosine and then the dopamine, et cetera. And,
I know.
Yeah, I mean, in other words...
All the neurotransmitters come right out of that pathway that glyphosate disrupts in the bacteria. The bacteria produce the aromatic amino acids, and the aromatic amino acids are precursors to all the neurotransmitters. Dopamine, serotonin, melatonin, adrenaline, and also thyroid hormone. All of them come out of that pathway. So, and that pathway is wrecked, and we can't make those things because we don't have the pathway. That's why glyphosate, you know, Monsanto says it's safe because our cells don't have that pathway. Well, guess what? We depend on our microbes to make those molecules for us. And when they can't make it, we're going to be in trouble with producing these really important molecules for our biology.
And I'm looking at the time, and I know how very busy you are. And so here we are in Felipe Park and other parks. When the park director was interviewed, they said how many of the 44 parks they use Roundup. You know, for invasive species, which seems to be... that apparently they think the only way to get rid of it is to spray Roundup. And so what do you suggest that people do?
You mean to try to solve things like weeds in the park?
Well, I just pull them up. You know,
right, you can pull them up. It's good exercise. And, you know, and there are also natural combinations that work. People use, I think it's salt and
vinegar.
salt and vinegar and a little bit of soap. Is a completely natural, much, much safer thing to use, you know, as long as you don't use too much salt. But you can kill weeds with other methods besides glyphosate. And people need to figure out how to do that. Or we can just get used to allowing weeds. You know, weeds are not really hurting anything. Actually, many of the weeds are doing useful things as far as rejuvenating the soil. And dandelions are actually, they're beneficial for actually detoxing glyphosate. If you eat them, dandelion greens, it's pretty amazing. Some of these so-called weeds, barberry and dandelion, they have useful medicinal properties.
And Dr. Seneff, I'm going to go back to the GMO foods, because to me it says a way too much about the kind of companies like a Monsanto that would do anything for the almighty buck, that there, you know, the patent runs out. And so to me it would be a very illogical thing to do, to take the staples of people's diets, wheat, corn, soy, foods like that, and make them Roundup accessible. I mean, to me,
I know.
To me that should have almost been a crime.
I think so. And I do say to the listeners that if you eat whole foods, you're going to be a lot better off. And, of course, organic whole foods is what you need. But the processed foods, I mean, they don't just have Roundup in them. They have all kinds of other chemicals in them. The whole chemical processing that gets to the point where you have these pseudo foods. I mean, they're not really food anymore. They're just a bunch of chemicals put together to make a pseudo food. Don't eat soy protein bars, you know? Just don't eat those foods. Eat whole foods, and sort of lots of fruits and vegetables, and grass-fed beef and seafood. These are all eggs. You know, organic eggs are wonderful. That's a very good source of nutrient-dense food. These are the things you should be eating. And if we can all change our eating habits, we will drive them. It'll be market-driven. The farmers will have to grow organic because that's what people want to buy.
Yeah, and real quickly before I let you go, because I know you love Hawaii, and to me it's really troubling that they're doing so many new GMO plots in Kauai, you know, kind of God's acre, you might say. Does that really trouble you? And I know that people in Hawaii have really fought that and have been kind of successful, haven't they?
Yeah, it's been it's a long ride. It's been going on for many, many years. There's a very strong anti-GMO organic community in Kauai. It's kind of a schizophrenic place because the West Side has all these new GMOs. They're developing new GMOs. You know, all kinds of toxic chemicals are being used. And the northern part of Kauai has all these organic farmers. So it's really schizophrenic. And right now, I think the anti-GMO folks are quite discouraged because they've worked so hard and they've gotten laws passed, and then the laws go into lawsuits, and then the lawsuits, they lose the lawsuits, and then nothing really happens. So I think they're quite discouraged right now there. And meanwhile, the people get elected who are in bed with the industry, and everything just continues on, and it just seems unstoppable. So it's very... they're demoralized. I think they got a real big lift from that lawsuit in California. Mm-hmm. I certainly did. $289 million were awarded to this Dwayne Johnson. And he was a guy who was applying Roundup to schoolyards. I mean, people should really think about that. Roundup in schoolyards. And he got non-Hodgkin's lymphoma from this. And he won that lawsuit. It's really terrific. And I'm hoping that that's a turning point, a tipping point, you know, where now there's going to be a whole bunch of follow-on lawsuits. And then Bayer will just be stuck with a huge problem. And, of course, Bayer stock plummeted after that news came out. And this is all making me very, very happy. So I'm hoping that there's hope, I think. And it's going to be grassroots, bottom up, individuals, you know, making a difference, choosing with their pocketbook. I think this is how we're going to do it. We can't depend on the government.
Well, Dr. Stephanie Seneff, we can certainly depend on you and your and your incredible intellectual knowledge. It's amazing. I want to thank you. I know how busy you are. I know you've got more commitments. And thank you so much for giving us this time today. Really appreciate it.
I thank you so much for having me. It was great.
You take care.
Boy, I'll tell you, she is one impressive woman.
And you are listening to WMNF Tampa, Sarasota Clearwater Community Conscious Radio. And you have just been listening to Dr. Stephanie Seneff. And I really strongly recommend you go to her website because it has just volumes of material. And it's accessible, you know, I mean. But also go to some of the interviews. Some are there, some are on YouTube, et cetera. She's really a very impressive mind in person. Arlene?
It would be exciting if we could get her to come in and speak.
Oh, I totally agree. She's pretty busy.
Yeah, I know. So, but we want to get. I'd like to hear an update from Tanya on what's happening with Felipe Park and what you know about the parks in Pinellas. And
so, just with speaking with Paul Causey, and so my trespass has been lifted.
Oh, good. I was going to wonder if we could help you.
Yes. So my trespass has been lifted. Apparently, the Parks Department and the Sheriff's Office got enough phone calls that they after radioactivity that they lifted it. So I am now allowed back in the park, but they are still spraying Roundup, and they included in my, you know, in the removal of the trespass that I'm not allowed to speak to the third party people. So it's kind of like if you don't question us. So, you know what I mean? Like also citizens aren't allowed to question people making decisions that are affecting our health. But, and then also, though, which is really disturbing, is that there's a record now. Like, there's a record in the sheriff's office with my name on it. And it's what's disturbing to me is that they did not tell the truth in there. So that's upsetting. And I called...
You mean what? Or can you say that? I mean,
I can say it. Oh, yeah, okay. Sure. So I posted it online so you could see. I mean, and I posted the two interactions that I had. The deputy who wrote it and Lisa, the parks representative, had said that I had used vulgarities with them and that I was following them around for a week. Information that's not correct. I don't really swear ever. Maybe if a curse word comes out of my mouth, it's like once every 2 months. Like, it's not very often. I'm not going around swearing at strangers and I'm not following them around. I have 3 kids and I ride my bike to school. Like, I don't have time to do that. So I thought it was... I was upset when I saw that because the Deputy Short didn't interview me at all. He didn't question me on what happened. He took Lisa's word and her reasoning why without ever talking to me about it. So, and then all of a sudden that's in my report. So I call Sergeant McIntyre with the Pinellas Sheriff's Office and I was like, well, I would like this removed. I would like it reviewed. I would like to be able to submit the tapes, the videos, to show you that I was completely calm. I wasn't using vulgarities. And he said the case is closed and that there wasn't really anything I could do about it. So I was disappointed in that.
How can that be that you don't, that it's closed and you have no voice?
I don't know. I don't really know. So, I called and that's what they said.
Well, if there's an attorney out there who knows more about these kind of things than we do, I'd be real curious to know why that you can't pursue that, because you should have a say if that's on your record, and that's not what happened. I mean, certainly in your video, you impressed Dr. Seneff. She thought you did a really good job. She said she's very knowledgeable.
I don't get upset. I don't yell. I don't curse ever. it was upsetting to me that they did that, and that, I mean, they lied. They lied about me, about like my integrity and my. I don't know. So that was upsetting that she would lie about me, and that it would get told to the police officer, and that he would put that in a record without talking to me about it, because he saw how calm I was.
And I'm curious, because I think more and more people are aware that Roundup is very dangerous and very long lasting, and they're concerned about their children and their own health or their pets. You know, you're bringing your pets in there to walk. And so I can't imagine you're the only person that has asked, what are you spraying?
No, I've gotten a lot of comments and a lot of phone calls, a lot of personal messages saying, you know, what is this? What happened? I don't want to go there anymore. Who can I call? Who can I write? But then also what was upsetting was the yellow sign that they put in the park. They didn't say poisons are being used. They said invasive control, you know, the invasive control, and they didn't mention that they were going to be spraying poisons into the air so that we didn't have the ability to make a choice to avoid that area if we wanted to. So, I mean, there's issues all over the place, but either way, I mean, people should call. They should call, you know, Pinellas County, their commissioners, and say they want it. They don't want this sprayed in their parks.
And particularly, you listen to one like Dr. Seneff, or she's not the only expert. Just go online. Just spend the time. As I say, they did a compilation of all the research that's being done, or at least quite a bit of it. And, that don't take her word or anybody's. The call for...
We've just had a number of calls from people asking us to spell her name and to give her website.
It's Dr. Seneff. And it's Stephanie Seneff, S-E-N-E-F-F.
And I think I spelled it wrong for somebody on the phone. I'm sorry.
Oh, S-E-N-E-F-F, and it's Stephanie. And she's at MIT, but go to her own website. And very fine print, you'll see all of these articles. And go down to the section. You might want to start easy with the interviews, because, you know, that some of these are professionals that are interviewing her, but they're essentially, not all of them are. And... this is a brilliant, brilliant woman. And
I was taking notes the whole time. I think I have 2 pages worth of notes as she was talking. But it was funny, you know, after all this, I was reading about it. And when they were doing, I think it was Scientific American, somebody from there wrote an article where they tested 4 different formulations and concentrations of Roundup. And they said that it damaged all... the inert ingredients and the Roundup and the glycephamine, I can't talk, was damaging the human cells, and particularly embryonic, placental, and umbilical cells, too.
Absolutely. I mean, anything you say about a human being, it's worse to a developing fetus and the young infant, mm-hmm. because their nervous system is developing, particularly after they're born that whole first year. That is, those are really, really critical periods. And so anything you're saying, yes, if nothing else, we've got to think about the seventh generation down the line, and we cannot keep exposing children to this. And I'm looking at the time, and Tanya, I really want to thank you for coming in, and best of luck, and I hope someone does give some advice on what you have, options you have to clear up that record. That's not fair. That's not what you said. You should have a chance to, you know.
Well, I think that they could amend it. I think that if you call Paul Causey at 77-582-2100 extension 2 in Pinellas Parks and ask him to have Lisa tell the truth in the police statement and go back and revise it to what actually happened.
Okay, and so you have been listening to WMNF Tampa, Sarasota Clearwater Community Conscious Radio. Arlene, do you want to say something?
Yes, we're still fighting Judge Kavanaugh. So call your senators, call Senator Grassley. The phone number, you can reach all of them at 202-224-2121. You might also consider calling...
Call. Everybody. Yes. Grassley, call Collins, call Murkowski. It is imperative, in my opinion, we keep Brett Kavanaugh off the Supreme Court. Please.
And our senator has not stated yet where he's going to vote, so call.
Up against the stone and steel, was it I want?